Democrats are spending millions as they try to take back control of the state legislature. Republicans say they're confident Democrats will fall short. It's Friday, September 20th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning. I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, a lawsuit in Door County aims to open up short-term rentals. Deaths from drug overdoses are down. And from Wisconsin Life, a story about a famous jazz saxophonist from the state. Stay with us.
Wisconsin Life is getting to know your neighbors.
A lot of my relatives were river rats. Whole families made a living, as I did.
I'm proud to be Mexican, Pueblo, Oneida, Two-Spirit, proud to be everything that I am.
We just want to, you know, be part of American dream.
Wisconsin Life, every Wednesday and Friday on WPR News and at wisconsinlife.org.
Wisconsin voters this November will cast ballots in what may end up being the most expensive legislative races in state history. As Anya Van Wagtendonk reports, both parties are fighting hard for competitive new districts.
Wisconsin was redistricted earlier this year. That means that both parties expect Democrats will pick up seats in the state assembly and Senate. Democrats even say they could gain a majority in the assembly. Right now, they're outnumbered about 2-1. Republican Majority Leader Tyler August said he's not worried about losing his party's edge.
We know we're going to be in the majority. The Democrats are not going to take the majority, despite their millions and millions of dollars that they're bringing in from out of state.
Both parties are poised to spend heavily in the state legislature races. They're targeting a few handfuls of seats. The most competitive races are expected to see more than $1 million spent per side. Anya Van Wagtendonk, Wisconsin Public Radio.
A conservative law firm is suing a Door County village over its regulations on short-term rentals, limiting the number of bedrooms that can be rented. Last June, Sister Bay approved an ordinance regulating vacation rentals known as Airbnbs. Julie Smelzer explained the rules before the village board approved them.
The maximum size of your home is 4 bedrooms unless you get approval from the planning commission. And the occupants are calculated at 3 persons per legally permitted bedroom to reduce the overcrowding in the residential areas.
The Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty is representing property owners asking to be grandfathered in to use more than 4 bedrooms. They say they were either renting their property or had contracts to build before the rules took effect. An appeals court has sided with a local news outlet in a defamation case brought by a Mosinee businessman who's now a Republican state senator. Sarah Lear reports.
Corey Tomchak sued the Wausau Pilot and Review in 2021 after the news site reported he was overheard using an anti-gay slur at a county board meeting. A Marathon County judge dismissed his claims last year. And this week, an appeals panel affirmed that lower court decision. Wausau Pilot publisher Shireen Seward says while the ruling is a relief,
it's frustrating to see the amount of money wasted on something like this that could have gone to strengthen local news.
Seward says the publication's been able to stay afloat thanks to donations after the suit resulted in nearly $200,000 in legal bills. Tomchak denies using the slur during that county meeting. He says he's now reviewing his legal options. Sarah Lear, Wisconsin Public Radio.
And a quick note, the Wausau Pilot's publisher also works as a part-time host for Wisconsin Public Radio. WPR staff who work with her were not involved in reporting or editing this story. For the first time in years, federal data shows opioid overdose deaths trending downward nationwide. Nick Rommel reports that harm reduction programs could be one reason for the decline.
Drug overdose deaths are down 13% in Wisconsin through April of this year. Ambulance services also report that they're picking up fewer overdose patients statewide. Ben Weston is the chief health policy advisor for Milwaukee County. He says that harm reduction tools like Narcan nasal spray and fentanyl test strips are bringing down death rates.
Absolutely. Full stop. I think harm reduction has been a key to the decline we've seen in opioid overdose deaths nationally.
Many local fire departments leave extra harm reduction kits at patients' homes after responding to 911 calls. It's called the Leave Behind program, funded by about $500,000 from state opioid settlement funds. Nick Rommel, WPR.
Coming up, saxophonist Frank Morgan fought through addiction to make a mark in the jazz world. We'll hear his story and some of his music. Stay with us.
Make an appointment with Public Radio's favorite family doc on the next Zorba Pastor on Your Health.
Okay, Carol, do you like taking calls from our listeners?
I do.
How about sharing our wonderful heart-healthy recipes?
Absolutely.
Do you like to keep up with the latest medical research?
Always.
If you do, Carol, stay tuned.
Saturday afternoon at 1 and Sunday night at 6 on WPR News.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCullum with a story about a legendary Milwaukee musician.
Imagine making it as a musician not only once, but at two distinct moments in your life. That's what happened to jazz saxophonist Frank Morgan of Milwaukee. Author Dean Robbins brings us the story on the musician's rebirth and stardom.
Frank Morgan grew up in Milwaukee, playing jazz guitar at an early age. But in 1940, his father took 7-year-old Frank to see a concert by alto saxophonist Charlie Parker. The experience changed his life. The minute Morgan heard Parker's starkly beautiful sound, he knew that alto sax was his destiny. He and his father went backstage to meet the genius who'd helped create the modern jazz style called bebop. With typical generosity, Parker took an interest in the boy and got him started on a reed instrument. Morgan became his protege, copying the master's jagged melodies and quicksilver rhythms. At 14, Frank was sitting in with top jazz players in Los Angeles. And at 22, when he released his debut album, word spread that Frank Morgan might become the next Charlie Parker. But it didn't happen. In the mid-1950s, Morgan succumbed to drug addiction, just as Parker had. His heroin habit led to a life of crime, and he spent most of the next 30 years behind bars. Instead of becoming a jazz celebrity, he performed for fellow inmates in the San Quentin prison band. Here he is on WHYY's Fresh Air in 1987.
In prison, the instrument was the thing that kept me sane, if you will. And the chance to play it, you know, kept me with hope.
After his release in 1985, Morgan finally recorded a second album, drawing on decades of pent-up emotion. Since prison had isolated him from a generation's worth of musical changes, listeners got the impression that a pure 1950s bebop pioneer had been magically transplanted to the 1980s. Morgan's resurrection fascinated the public, and his friendly smile began beaming out of magazines and TV screens. Audiences were touched by his sublime improvisations. He expressed gratitude for his long-delayed fame and committed himself to earning people's respect.
I really intend to play, and to play my heart out.
That meant staying off drugs, of course, which required extraordinary effort. To avoid temptation, Morgan threw himself into practicing and recording. He also moved back to Milwaukee in 1994 to be with supportive family members. I had a chance to interview Morgan after his return to Wisconsin, a state he dubbed pretty hip. He credited Milwaukee with giving him a great start in music, and the city's schools with providing an excellent education. And he was overwhelmed by the warm welcome he received from local jazz fans. I was one of those fans. I saw Morgan play a spectacular concert in Madison and continued to follow his career until he died from cancer in 2007 at age 73. His final years are one of the greatest second acts in jazz history, and his recordings endure as a testament to redemption and rebirth. Here he is on NPR's Piano Jazz.
Well, it's great to be alive, you know. Every day is beautiful.
In our interview, Morgan explained his musical strategy of channeling everything he felt through his horn. His goal, he said, was to make a direct connection between his heart and a listener's heart. I'd say, mission accomplished.
Author Dean Robbins of Madison brought us that story on saxophonist Frank Morgan. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. I'm Maureen McCollum.
Oh, the saxophone is one of my favorite instruments. I could listen to it all day long. Well, that'll do it for this Friday. Thanks so much for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producers today were Mallory Chang and Rob Menser. We're back in your podcast feed on Monday morning with all of the latest news. So until then, have a great rest of your day and a great weekend. We'll talk to you again soon.